This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
John Lopez saying 7-3 is the worst case scenario for Davis Mills.
It is.
I think that is a large enough sample size to earn another year if you're Davis Mills. If Davis Mills starts 10 games and you win 7 of those games, first of all, that surpasses any expectations. Davis will save us. Mills Mafia, however you want to put it. Sign me up for that.
You gotta look at the stats too, man.
I don't not give just a damn what three. The stats are. You go seven and three.
Let me give you just another example.
I don't think that's gonna happen. I think there's a 0% chance that happens.
I don't know about zero, but I don't think it's gonna happen either. But even if he goes 7-3, here's the reason I would say it's the worst case scenario. Because number one, I don't think that's a big enough sample size. To really know if he's got it. If you disagree, that's fine, all right? But I got other reasons too. Top five picks don't come around very often. And you're presumably going to get enough picks for Deshaun Watson that you can move into the top five. And you won't have those very long. That's the second reason. And then the third reason is this. You need more than one quarterback on this team, even if he is the guy. You know, draft another top quarterback and there's your competition.
You don't need to draft the top quarterback if your guy goes 7-3.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
You're good.
Let me ask
it's
you.
Not
let
happen.
Me give you another example.
It's not going to happen.
So let me give
let
you
me
another.
Make that clear. It's not going to happen.
No, I agree with you. But let me give you another example to prove my point that it's the worst case scenario. Suppose Tyrod Taylor goes down, and Ryan Finley goes 7-3. You're saying problem solved?
No.
Of course not.
It's not enough.
Because it could be an outlier.
Yeah, it could be an outlier, but depending on what he does, if this Texans team wins 7 games, I mean, I think we'd all be pleasantly surprised and pretty shocked by it. So if Davis Mills goes 7-3, that's not a worst case scenario. That's a best case scenario for me.
Tim Tebow went 7-4.
That was way different.
Well, that was different.
Was it?
Yeah, that was goofy.
Well, maybe this will be goofy. That's my whole point.
We're talking about a pro-style guy. That was gimmicky.
Worst case scenario is for him to come in and all of a sudden everybody's going, hey, wow, 7-3. Dude, be careful, man.
You give me a 10-game sample size. Of all the things that can be achieved in 2021 for the Houston Texans, getting a look at Davis Mills, getting a grasp of what Davis Mills is at the top of the list. I think there's a lot of guys on defense that you got to evaluate. Quote redshirt guys like Ross Blacklock and Jonathan Grenard, who didn't get on the field much. You got to figure out if they got anything. Shaq Lawson and Aminihu as your DNs. You got to figure out if those guys can be long-term pieces. Do you want to re-sign Justin Reed? Is Justin Reed going to be a part of things a lot moving forward? And then you got a bunch of defensive guys you want to evaluate as well. And then on offense, really Davis Mills is the only long-term piece that you're evaluating. Along with obviously Jordan, the tight end, Collins, Michigan. But other than that, there aren't very many guys. These running backs, I think Philip Lindsay could maybe play his way into a team-friendly deal. But Mark Ingram's not going to be back in 2022. David Johnson's not going to be back in 2022. Maybe Farrell Brown you can evaluate. And the O-line you're trying to figure out as well. I think the thing that might be the most slept-on thing with this squad, and it's kind of ironic. Shout out to Alanis Morissette.
Well, let's make sure it's ironic first. Actually, if it's not ironic, shout out to Alanis Morissette.
I think the O-line might be pretty good.
Could be.
Because we've been talking about the O-line being really good the last 2 years just because of the amount of investments that King Bill put in it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, the two firsts for Tunsil, the second for Nick Martin, making him one of the highest paid centers, the second for Sharping, the first for Titus Howard, paying Zach Fulton. Wasn't a very good O-line. I think it actually might be a pretty damn good O-line this year. I think there's going to be a lot of competition. I think the interior is definitely going to be better. I think this could actually be, ironically, after we really, really talk about it, this could be a good O-line, and we're barely talking about it.
The worst case scenario is 7-3. It is. I would
nuts.
Feel better.
You're absolutely
not about Davis Mills, but
crazy.
I wouldn't think he's the answer. Here's one
I'm
more
example.
I'm not
saying I'm going to put him in the Ring of Honor, John.
You're
I'm
just saying not to draft a quarterback.
If the young man goes 7-3, don't draft a quarterback.
He's not freaking Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to get his feeling hurt. Draft a quarterback, and at worst case scenario, you can flip one of them for more picks later.
7-3
is the worst case scenario for. I was going to say stupid.
Worst
fans
case
like
scenario
you.
Is him sucking.
No, I'd be good with that. I mean, I wouldn't be good, but I'd be good with that because you have to draft a quarterback.
The worst case scenario is Tyrod Taylor going 7-3.
No, the worst case.
The worst case scenario is Tyrod Taylor going 8-9. Okay, but if he goes 8-9 and you don't have the draft pick, that's the problem because he's not a long-term fit. That's the worst.
Right. But
the
no,
worst case scenario
I still don't
is Tyrod Taylor going 8-9.
I still don't think because you're going to get all these. You're going to get multiple picks for Deshaun that you can always move in to the top five, whether they're 8-9 or 9-8 or 1-16 or whatever. When you get suckered in, they call it suckered in for a reason because you're probably a sucker. Maybe he's going to be the next Tom Brady, but I still wouldn't make that decision at 7-3. And if he is the next Tom Brady, you have a quarterback that you can flip for more picks that you picked in the top five. Worst case scenario is for him to go 7-3 because then people get fooled into believing that he's the man. Whether he is or not, it takes away a lot from what you can be
what
doing.
What would you rather
team.
Have? Like, if Davis Mills shows that he can go 7-3, regardless of the surroundings, would you rather have, and he's not going to go 7-3. Let's just say Davis Mills looks good and the Texans lose. Let's say he shows enough to where he basically goes down in defeat and the Texans have the number one overall pick. Let's say the Texans have the number one overall pick. One of these quarterbacks, whether it's Howell, whether it's Slovis, who, good God, he throws the ball.
Willis.
He's got bad. Jim Abbott might have had more arm strength in his right arm than Slovis.
That is a cheap shot.
Well, it is what it is. But if you had the first overall pick, and let's say that Davis Mills shows something, would you rather have Chase Young or Joe Burrow?
For this team?
Yes.
Joe Burrow. Even, a rebuilding team, Landry.
But, okay, but if Davis Mills shows you something, you would rather have Joe Burrow than Chase Young.
Yes.
You're on crack.
No.
You're on
I just
crack.
Told you why. No. Because it's a no-lose situation.
But Chase,
it's a potential no-lose situation.
So you would rather have David Carr than Julius Peppers?
It's a potential no-lose situation if you draft another quarterback. Because you can always flip him if Davis Mills is the guy.
Or you could get a baller like Chase Young or Thibodeau from Oregon, and you have that guy, and you have a quarterback that you can still evaluate.
Yeah, and then what would that get you? How many wins? J.J. Watt was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in history. He won at his absolute peak, maybe a game and a half a year he won.
Well, yeah, if Davis Mills is Brock Osweiler, that's going to be a problem, or Brian Hoyer or Ryan Mallett or whoever else, that would be a problem. But if you still have hope that Davis Mills is above that, I would take Chase Young over Joe Burrow. I would take Chase Young over a guy who emerged as the number one pick. If you liked what you saw in Mills the previous year.
Not for this team. Not for a team that has so long to go. You need to build a quarterback that's going to be there 10, 12, 15 years.
What about what's wrong with having a stud defensive guy? Chase Young took the Washington football team to the playoffs last year. They still got to find their quarterback.
What was their record?
It was bad. They had a losing record.
This was a bad division.
But Chase Young, you can build a team around Chase Young. The Texans,
you can build a defense around him.
The Texans could have built a team around Julius Peppers.
Well, that's a little different because all they had was David Carr. I mean, they had so many public relations things that they had to get going on a startup franchise or whatever. No, I mean, it's what you're doing and what you're falling for is what I'm worried about. People falling for that.
I'm saying roll the dice with the kid if he has a good year.
You're a sucker.
I don't love any of these guys.
Well, you don't love them yet. Did you love
Zach
Wilson?
If you told me Trevor Lawrence was going to be the number one guy, then maybe. But I don't love any of these guys.
Did you love Zach Wilson?
I still don't love Zach Wilson.
Yeah, somebody did enough for him to go, what was it, number two?
Yeah, guys get loved all the time. But yeah. From 09 to 16.
I mean, somebody who knows their stuff.
Well, first round quarterbacks are on different teams from 09 to 16. So, I mean, you can fall in love.
7 years.
It's a long time.
I know. All I'm saying is don't get suckered in to believe in a small sample size. And for a rookie quarterback, 7-3 with all the other things going on, you're messing with fire.
The other problem, I think, is that we're talking about – I don't think that Nick Caserio is a sucker.
Right.
I think that the appropriate amount of evaluation and the appropriate evaluation would take place with Caserio.
Mm-hmm. But the other teams have done that as well with quarterbacks that didn't really pan out that they thought would. Again, Tebow.
But the other problem is sometimes options aren't there.
And that's my point. They've got a golden opportunity
just because a quarterback warrants a top five pick in a certain draft doesn't mean he's your franchise quarterback. It's a danger zone to bring it back and waste years with subpar quarterbacks. But I think it's even more dangerous to just draft a quarterback at the top of the draft because you have to. I think that can be just as
costly.
Yeah,
but the reality is you do that. Teams do that every year.
Yeah, and they screw up.
Not always. I mean, look, the Jets drafted a quarterback because they had to.
Yeah, and they did it.
It's a matter of evaluating.
And they did it 3 years ago, too, with Sam Darnold.
That's what I was just about to say. It's a matter of evaluating and getting the right guy. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are worried or feeling too bad about drafting Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but they traded up to 11, and they hadn't drafted a quarterback in a while.
Right, they evaluated correctly. And the Texans,
they didn't have a top five pick.
But they used their picks to move up, and guess my whole point.
Yeah, they used the first, but they could have gone 7-3. They made the playoffs with Alex Smith.
Yeah, but they didn't win a Super Bowl.
But they got their quarterback without having a top five pick
because they had picks to trade. Again, that's kind of my point. These opportunities don't come up very often, where you can get a franchise, terrific potential elite quarterback. Because if they do what you're saying, 7-3, we're good. Let's go with a defensive end or cornerback or something at number five. Okay, if they do that, and it doesn't work out, they're setting their franchise back even more.
But I think there's ifs everywhere, and I think you and I are.
There's no ifs if you have two franchise quarterbacks that are young.
But I think
zero ifs.
I think you and I are both in a danger zone because there is so much uncertainty. I feel like people are falling into the trap of. Oh, well, if we get that number one overall pick, we're guaranteed a franchise quarterback. Or if we're up there, man, we're going to get the guy. And I don't think it's that easy. I think Blake Bortles was drafted by the Jags. I mean, you see guys.
Of course, there's stories on either side. I'm not even talking about that. What I'm saying is you draft Davis Mills in 2021. You draft, let's say, Spencer Rattler in 2022.
Come on.
Just, okay, whatever, Malik Willis. Or Sam Howell. Sam Howell. Let's okay. Go. You draft Sam Howell in 2022. He's the consensus top five quarterback. You draft him. There is no downside there. You got two young quarterbacks. Let's say that Davis Mills actually comes back, starts the year, and goes 13-4. And all of a sudden you've
13.
Got you've got your 11-6.
No, you can go 13-4.
13-4, all right? Right. And he is what Jeez. You got suckered into believing. But you have that umbrella of a second-year quarterback drafted in the top five that other teams are going to be tripping over themselves to give you draft picks over. There's no downside.
Yeah, flipping comp would be nice.
That's my – there's no downside to drafting a quarterback again, even if he does go 7-3.
What if he stinks?
Then you draft a quarterback again. Oh, you mean the second guy? You mean this? You mean this? The guy the Texans draft in 2022?
Yeah. What if he stinks?
There's no way of knowing. If he goes,
well, if you draft a quarterback just to draft a quarterback, what you're doing right now is dangerous.
Nobody's drafting a quarterback just to draft a quarterback.
Draft a quarterback next year, but who?
Well, I'll let you know. Next March, as we know, and we get evaluations and we see what they've done in their seasons. There's gonna be a Zach Wilson. There's gonna be. Well, a Justin Fields.
What is Justin Fields?
He's drafted pretty high. People love him. There's going to be a quarterback there that the consensus is this dude's going to be a stud. You draft him, no matter what Davis Mills does, you're golden. You're golden no matter what. Either he's the guy and you trade this guy for more picks, or you were right and you were safe in being right. I mean, you were right in being safe, And you got your other guy.
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Jets linebacker Nevelle Hewitt visiting with the Texans, led the Jets with 134 tackles last season. He's entering his seventh year, 134 tackles. Don't you who me, Figgy.
Who?
713-572-4610. Astros only won 1-3, but New York media types are calling the Yankees gutless. That and the most disgraceful headline porn you will ever hear about next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Altuve drives one deep to left field, all the way back, gone! Jose Altuve on his 31st birthday hits a home run that probably feels as good as any in his career, a three-run shot, and gives the Astros a 5-3 lead.
All right, Astros win. They take 1-3 in New York. And I got to say, usually when you win 2 out of 3, it's not a win. But I think it's a win around here. And I think in New York, they're a little bit disappointed with how things went down the last 3 days.
Yep.
Allow me to lay out my case. Carton and Roberts, best radio show in New York, talking about Jose Altuve and why, despite the fact that they beat the hated Astros 2 out of 3 times, they were not feeling great yesterday after the game concluded.
I thought at times the crowd was getting to Jose Altuve. I thought at times he wasn't kind of enjoying the role as a heel, maybe the way Alex Bregman was. But to his credit, he did get the last laugh at the very end. And that did kind of surprise me. I got to admit.
I will say this.
Yeah.
What does bother me about the way this series ended, and let's not, listen, they won the series, Adam. That does bother me.
Well,
now, I'll tell you, I love winning the first game. I love winning the second game. Should have won today's game for my money. But what bothers me is not that Altuve's really good, is that he's walking out of Yankee Stadium looking, frankly, right now, for the Wizard of Oz to tell him where to go next. And he walks out with a smile, feeling as though he won. And that part bothers me.
I don't think he got the last. I think he saved face. I think he was able to walk out of here and say, all right, at least I got something against these guys that were booing me for 3 straight days.
Yeah, well, that is the only thing that bothers me. In a weird way, I'm glad we won the opener because that's when the fans were at their best. Then you have the rain game yesterday. All right, you bunch of knuckleheads out there. Yeah, you got to be a diehard fan to be out there for that. I don't like the fact that in a weird way that Dwarf feels like he got over on my team. That's the problem that bothers me.
Yeah, they're not exactly co-signing your take here. They're just saying, yeah, the Yankees won the first 2 games, but Jose Altuve feels really, really good.
I would agree with that. Which is important. To me, I think that's one of the most important things. And in a 162-game baseball season, yes, the wins all weigh the same. And if you want to simplify it and say you want to win 2 out of 3 instead of 1 out of 3, I agree. But I also think that there's some wins, especially in baseball, that can just lead to, and they can be a catapult towards increased confidence and all that. And I think the biggest issue with Jose Altuve has been confidence. And if Jose Altuve had gotten a couple singles, and let's say he goes 2 for 14 or whatever in the series, and the Astros take 2 out of 3, I think that's less valuable than Jose Altuve on his birthday, with people saying F your birthday 2 days after they said F Altuve, hitting the bomb like he did and getting that win and getting to leave New York, not go back to a hotel and sleep and then go back to New York, but getting that monkey off of his back and getting to leave New York, while it is just one win, I do feel like that is the type of moment. And I don't know if that completely eliminates any potential Altuve struggles, but I think that is the type of moment that is so valuable for a season moving forward that if you ask me the alternative of the 2 for 14, 2 out of 3, I would have rather had that.
Except for with the last thing you just said, I totally agree with what you said. I was texting with my son about this and how it could turn everything for Jose Altuve. I mean, I was thrilled. I was thrilled for him and thrilled for what it might mean for him and this team moving forward. But that's totally different discussion than, hey, I'd rather win 1 than 2 out of 3. Because there's no way I could.
But doesn't it depend on the one?
Not, I don't
in
think
in football, I wouldn't.
I don't think it depends on the one.
In a 17-game season, John, I wouldn't say this. In basketball, I wouldn't say this. But right. in baseball, when it's 162, you're talking about yips. You're talking about marathon, not
sprint. But see,
sprint.
That's a different topic than saying I would rather win one of these three because it's against
Garrett
Cole. But
I'm talking
about
a certain one, though. Yeah, Garrett Cole, I think, adds confidence, too. I think so.
I would rather have won the first two and not the third. Just for the sake of because that's better math. I mean, that
it's
helps
better
you,
for
that,
the standings.
It's better for the standing.
But it's also better for the standings if Jose Altuve is feeling confident and throwing himself. That could be worth more than just two wins, because if Altuve is doing what Altuve do, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
But separate from the two wins is what could that one win mean? I look at it as two different topics. I would much rather have taken two out of three from the Yankees, no matter where they came. The fact that it ended up this way, I think it could mean a lot for Jose Altuve.
Keep an eye on Altuve. Keep an eye on Alvarez. Yeah. And let's see how they build. Toronto in town tonight at the Juice Box. I might try to go to the yard tonight. I need to get
by the way,
ball game.
Tickets have been given away. Okay. I just sent those tickets. If you weren't listening at the start of the show, we understand, but we want you to listen all 4 hours. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. It was a really fun, interesting, moving segment for me anyway, reading these messages I put out on Twitter yesterday and then again this morning. I had four tickets to the Astros on Mother's Day, and it's going to be my first Mother's Day without my mom, who was an enormous baseball fan. She likes sports, but an enormous baseball fan. She was always taking care of me because my dad worked so much. And so she would actually take the bus to go see my games. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to give these four tickets to a deserving mom. I opened up the DMs, and the stories were just heartrending, just incredible. Yeah. We finally landed on one. I got him the note. He's got the four tickets.
There we go.
He's taking his mom on Mother's Day Sunday.
We'll hear the letter when we wrap up the show right before Friday Future Trip. And so we'll read that letter right here on Sports Radio 610. Carton and Roberts insinuated that maybe the Yankees were a little bit gutless in their three-day display with the Houston Astros. Here's the explanation from Carton and Roberts out there, WFAN. Did Aaron Boone make a mistake and go flat out coconutless against the Astros?
I was curious about this because you said before this series began, a lot of Yankee fans said it. I certainly said it. I would plunk somebody. I would hit somebody. They never did it. And
no, they didn't.
I wonder if a big part of this is Aaron Boone wasn't the manager of the team in 2017. Okay? And I think a lot of times, if you're looking for revenge, if you're looking to hit somebody, it's like this team plan. You know, I thought Joe Kelly of the Dodgers went rogue and kind of did it on his own. He wasn't even on that Dodger team that got hosed by the Astros.
So?
Should they have pegged somebody?
I think they will, but it wasn't going to be in that series.
I think this needs to start being optional. I think baseball needs to adopt hockey rules, where if someone gets plunked intentionally and it appears to be intentional, everybody just backs off and lets the guys fight.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Because this whole, I plunked someone with a baseball because I'm a hardo and I'm sending a message, then all of a sudden the catcher and nine guys are going to grab the dude. It's not a fight. I really don't like it. Here is the final thing that I found interesting that Carton and Roberts had to say about the series. And this centers around the reckless headline porn that ended up not being true, but a small radio station. You can go through my Twitter if you want to follow it. I actually talked to the guy who originally posted it. He took it down and realized how reckless it was. But he quoted Miss Abstein over there at Sports Illustrated for reporting something that she did not report. This is Carton and Roberts talking about it, and Carton's kind of shooting from the hip, calling out the Astros. But Roberts kind of brings him back and lets him know, hey, that's headline porn, man.
While the Yankee fans are in attendance today, we're chanting F your birthday at Jose Altuve.
I love it.
The Houston Astros filed a formal complaint with Major League Baseball about Yankee fans taunting them. So good job, Yankee fans.
I got to tell you. Okay,
Craig,
I saw this story.
Yeah.
And I am very, very, very skeptical about it. I have a tough time believing the Houston Astros, who are going to be taunted in every building in America, definitely the worst in New York, no doubt.
Yeah.
I have a really tough time believing that someone from the organization said, Mr. Manfred, please tell them to stop.
Yeah, you got to him, baby. I love it. 10,000 fans. Well done, my man.
I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
It shows you that Yankee fans are the best fans in baseball because for a team to allegedly, then, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, allegedly. Did not happen. Matthew DeMicchi, who originally put up the headline out there in L.A., I had a back and forth with him. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app, 1220, 1215. That did not happen. Epstein did not report it. So Carton was wrong. Roberts was right on this instance. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. One of the best interrogations you will ever hear, and it's not Tony Busby, it's not Rusty Harden, but it does circle back to Deshaun Watson, plus a heartfelt letter to the OG that results in a loophole, getting to spend some quality time with mom at the yard on Sunday. That's next.
Screw you, Rusty.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Deshaun Watson has company. Aaron Rodgers disgruntled in Green Bay. Report dropped on draft day. This was an interesting cross-examination that I think it causes a lot of questions to emerge when it comes to Deshaun Watson and how it should or shouldn't have been handled by the Watson camp and by the Houston Texans. This was Adam Schefter with Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show. Rusty Harden and Tony Busby, probably in the same class, but Dan Patrick is right. Might even be better when it comes to a cross-examination. Kind of reminded me of a McLean visit on Tuesday at 10:40.
A little bit.
Presented by Horn Solutions. Here's Adam Schefter with Dan Patrick talking about the Aaron Rodgers news that he was unhappy, ironically, coming on draft day.
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packers story.
Yeah,
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game, just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
Okay. So it just randomly comes out on draft day. First of all, Adam Schefter, give me a break.
Yeah. There's like, no random on draft day.
Second of all, he's talking to people. This isn't Adam Schefter listening to a press conference and doing what we do and speculating. He's way too good at what he does for that to happen. So this is an example. You tell me, though. You've done this longer than me. This is an example of getting information, a reporter, and going above and beyond to protect his sources. But in doing so, he's almost making himself look silly by saying such. That's one thing. But to say that it just randomly happened on draft day, give me an effing break there.
Well, the way the sausage is made in that business, when you are on a beat and you have to deal with both sides of several different issues, you don't even know what the next issue is going to be. You have to do what's best for your future relationship. So this was no accident. I think he's actually telling the truth when it comes to nobody told me, I didn't get this from either side to put it out on draft day. But what he's not saying, if I had to speculate, is I did this because I am protecting this side. I do want to find out more information on this story, maybe even get the story of when and where, Aaron Rodgers goes, and I don't want to burn him. So I think he's just protecting his own future there, so to speak.
And as far as having the information and not putting it out there, I also think that's kind of connected here just because if some will say, and I think it's fair, well, so you knew about all these meetings, but you didn't say anything. A lot of times guys tell you stuff and you just kind of keep it to yourself, mm-hmm. or you at least use it as information to where you can guide your opinion and not sound like a complete idiot.
Exactly.
And not chase your tail. So we'll hear stuff, people will tell us stuff, and you can't just come out and say yada 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 yada, but they tell you. So I do think it was strategic. I don't know whether it was the Packers. I don't know. I would lean more towards Rodgers, but the draft day thing is not just Adam Schefter saying I'm going to do that. A lot of times someone knows when to play something. Like, it's no coincidence the Texans' Deshaun Watson news broke after Caserio was hired. They were trying to make a statement. They were trying to take away those headlines. So I think it's kind of a team effort in these situations. They tell you when you can put out the information, and that's how it works.
David Culley gets hired, and then all of a sudden you have the story about them meeting, and none of these are accidents when it comes to that. But I feel that's how the game's played. That's how you get these more stories. That's how you become
Adam Schefter. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do not hate the player, hate the game. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Speaking of Adam Schefter, a little breaking news regarding the Houston Texans. Let me just say this. Shout out to DJ Colley. Shout out to Adam Schefter, because we have another one.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
Former Jets linebacker Neville Hewitt is signing a one-year deal with the Texans per his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. Seven-year vet, 130-plus tackles last year. So not a bad signing.
About as good a signing as you can get. Yeah, I was for the Jets, and we were kind of doing the Who game earlier, but that's about as good as you can get at that age. It's not old, you know, and he's been productive.
So you got him, you got Zach Cunningham, two guys, two linebackers with over 100 tackles. Who knows where he fits in. Maybe Cunningham moves to the more the outside. Who knows, but they did sign Neville Hewitt, so you have two guys that had well over 100 tackles on the Houston Texans.
Yeah, he's an inside guy just like Zach Cunningham.
Continuing with the Schefter, Dan Patrick cross-examination. Here is more banter on releasing it after the draft between one of the best broadcasters of all time, one of the best NFL reporters of all time.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and it was nothing that morning that came in.
Okay.
All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing it. And there was more and more talk. And now there's starting to be Aaron Rodgers talk. And I say, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. And it just happened to be drafted.
Look, what he's saying right now is more or less, first of all, Dan Patrick, Rusty Harden does not hold a candle to him when it comes to cross-examination and getting down to the nut.
Screw you, Rusty.
Of it all. But he's trying to just get the clarity of, all right, is this something that is fact or is it fiction? Help us out. And Adam Schefter's just dancing that dance, man. I mean, he's just refusing to go all in on one side or the other. And I think both sides have been giving him things.
Here's some more between Schefter and Dan Patrick. Aaron Rodgers taking over the headlines when it comes to disgruntled quarterbacks. More with Adam Schefter. This is more of a discussion than a report. I think a lot of times we mix that up, but this is the Dan Patrick Show, Schefty and Dan Patrick going back and forth.
Because I wondered when you said it didn't come from Rodgers, didn't come from the Packers, and it's being characterized differently. I was wondering, okay, you're not going to tell me your source. You know, what was the motive behind that? Yeah.
Dan, there's not a source.
No, I know. But I know that now. But we're just finding this out right now.
I said this. I said it on NFL Live. I said it on my podcast. I said it. You know, I mean, I don't know. People want to believe whatever they want to believe. It was just an accumulation of information throughout the course of the entire offseason. The Rams inquired in January. And again, that's an example. I knew when they were calling.
Yeah.
And they were quickly rebuffed. Yeah. Like, the conversation went nowhere, but they checked in early in January. And they were not the only team that checked in. So, by the way, Dan, why are these teams checking in?
Because he's available, or their hearing is available. Are they hearing it from the Packers, or are they hearing it from Aaron Rodgers? Because it has to come from one of those two, right?
Well, I'm just saying that there was a lot of speculation in league circles, however you want to characterize that. He was unhappy and wanted out. And then if you just, again, there were so many people that knew this. I think all I really did was shine a light on some of what had gone on. The fact that, you know, Mark Murphy, the Packers president, had flown out to meet with him. The Packers GM, Brian Gutekunst, had flown out to meet with him. Packers head coach, Matt LaFleur, had flown out to meet with him. They're all trying to plead with him to come back, explain to him why he should be in Green Bay. And by the way, it doesn't appear that any of them made any progress with him. This was all going on.
I mean, he's holding firm, just not trying to do it. The answer is yes. I think the answer is anyway. Did it come from the Packers, or did it come from
both? I think
Rodgers. The answer is yes, it did. It came from both, and that's why he doesn't want to throw them both. Because Schefter's not going to talk to one side, not the other. He's Adam Schefter. He knows better than that.
Here's more cross examination, Schefty and Dan Patrick. This is where it gets really interesting. Dan Patrick kind of backs him into a corner, but it's more so like a debate type of corner. It's not a report type of corner. I feel like people are trying. I feel like there's such thirst to like question reporters to where people are starting to try to question Adam Schefter. There's nothing to question.
Right.
He was told when to put the story out there. Someone told him he's protecting the source.
Or he did it to protect the source.
Let's not try to make any more of it than needs to be made.
Yeah.
But what can we confirm, though, Adam? Does he want Brian Gutekunst fired, the GM? Can we confirm that?
I've never said that.
I'm just saying there's so much information out that other people have put out there. I don't know what has been confirmed. I mean, Rodgers hasn't said anything. I don't know that. But
yeah, let me say this. There's so much stuff that's floating around out there, some of which is probably true, some of which probably isn't. We probably don't know the majority of the story. We know that he didn't like that they not only drafted Jordan Love, but didn't even tell him they were drafting Jordan Love. We know that he has issues with certain people, but we probably don't know a lot of the things that have really pissed him off.
I think this is relevant, obviously, you know, to the Deshaun Watson thing as well, because that's kind of what's happening here from both sides.
The DeAndre Hopkins is the Jordan Love.
Yeah.
That's the move that over the course of a year kind of boiled up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we really don't know.
And you're hearing from both sides, but nobody, whether it's McClain or Schefter or whomever, Rappaport, who's reported a lot on this, they're not going to say, oh, yeah, the Texans told me this. No, it's the same thing. That's why we're talking about this.
Here's the explanation debate that we've had when it comes to Deshaun Watson before, obviously, the legal stuff came up. Schefter originally doesn't think that Watson or Rodgers, owes an explanation to fans, and then Dan Patrick kind of backs him in a corner there.
Well, I have been told that he does not want to be there by many people. Okay.
Yeah.
So you
so there's the sources.
Whatever that means, he doesn't want to be there.
So there's the sources.
Well, by many people.
Yeah. So there's the sources. He's saying it ain't a source. It's there it is. Like, you know, like you try too hard to protect your sources, you end up looking foolish. You end up looking like a fool. Sometimes you lose your job because you're protecting sources too much. Like
sometimes
like that's the thing. Like right there, people told him.
Or you hook up with the wrong sources
to act like, shout out to athletes first out there on the West Coast. But like that's the thing right there. Like Adam Schefter, anyone who thinks Adam Schefter just pulls something out of nowhere.
Come on.
You go to Adam Schefter when you want something out there. You know how many stories a day Adam Schefter turns down? You know, anytime someone says, I want to put this out there, and he turns it down.
Yeah.
It's Adam freaking Schefter.
Mm-hmm.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson owe explanations for this?
See,
fans?
I'm glad you brought that up because that's how they started that conversation. The answer is yes, but it doesn't have to be right now. And that's where Dan Patrick maybe pressed the wrong buttons there because, you know, doesn't he owe him an explanation? Yes, he does. But it doesn't have to be that day. And I'll give you the example of J.J. Watt. We knew what J.J. Watt was going to do. We knew his fate, that he was going to be out of here. He was grumpy J.J., as was often talked about on this show.
Grumpy-ass J.J.
After the fact, he kind of explained it and talked about his future and wanting to chase a championship and the situation here, et cetera. So, yeah, he gave an explanation, but it doesn't have to be in the middle of the season, or in this case, in the middle of the whatever's going on.
Nice gesture by John Lopez for a loophole. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. It's the first Mother's Day that you'll be without your mother, and you're giving a loophole, an opportunity to enjoy Sunday with their mom at the yard. Let's get to the bottom of this.
I put it out on Twitter, had four tickets, so wanted to give it to a deserving mom, and the man, blown away. I opened up the DMs on my Twitter account and
started, basically told all of them but one to F off and not have a good Mother's Day.
Well, I mean, somebody had to win, right? And I almost did just like a random draw because it was so hard. I'll give you a couple.
That would have been gutless.
I'll give you a taste of a couple here. From Quinn, my mother passed away 4 months ago, and I now have custody of my 14-year-old sister. I had the same idea of going to the Astros game in her honor, but it just wasn't in the cards for me budget-wise. She had a Little League field in Sagemont, South Belt, named after her. She was president there for years. Always listened to your show. It would be great to get those tickets. Jose said, this is not for my mom. It's actually me and my mom are in Mexico. I'd like to do it for my cousin. Her ex-husband left her and her two children. She raised them alone and has done the best she can for them, and she loves the Astros so much. She deserves the tickets. Jay was another one talking about how he and his sister have a code word, a code phrase for telling each other that they love each other in honor of their mom, who was such a big Astros fan, and that is "Go Astros." When they say that, it's basically the "I love you" to each other. And then there was this one, Fred. We called him Fred anyway. And it's a really cool story. My mom is 61 this year, just now retiring from umpiring softball and baseball. She's helped me so much. I'm a second generation umpire myself. Her husband left her 23 years ago. And I played high school baseball in Channelview. She was in the stands for the first time in a long time because she was a single mom working two jobs. Our game was about to start and no umpires showed. So I asked the coach if they had issues with my mom umpiring the game. Both coaches agreed. She always had my gear in her her gear in her car. So she geared up, and right before playing, she told me, "You better be swinging, boy." But my mom was not biased to her boy on the field. She had extreme integrity. And I believe my mother should get them. This is Nate. She's really my stepmom, but she took me in as her own when I was 8 years old. She raised me with my father to become the man I am today. I'd like the tickets for my stepmother because of everything that she's done as the ultimate Mother's Day present that I cannot afford. I mean, it just goes on. I got probably, well, it was close to 100 anyway, direct messages, but it was pretty incredible for Mother's Day. I was that this was able to go down, and I was glad to be a part of it.
Good gesture.
And we gave them away. The tickets are in the hands of a very deserving mom.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, always looking out for the loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Happy Mother's Day to all the mamas out there, all the baby mamas, all the stepmamas, any kind of mama. Happy Mother's Day to you. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weekend. If you gotta work, less traffic. If you ain't gotta work, unwind, relax, do whatever the heck you want to do. Texan schedule comes out next week. Some more Astros baseball to react to. Silence will speak volumes this weekend in the Deshaun Watson case because the two-week deadline has come and gone. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you on Monday, but in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.